The Education Gadfly Show starts now. Hello, this is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, here with my guest co-host filling in for Rick Hess, who is cruising the Caribbean, the always insightful Dave DeShriver. Welcome, Dave.
Mike, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me again.
Happy New Year to you. I'm glad that you came back. How was your holiday? I understand you took a road trip through the Midwest.
I had a lovely holiday. I hung out with my in-laws-to-be, flew to St. Louis, got in a caravan, drove 8 hours up to Wisconsin. And throughout the time, I played maybe 4 hours of war with a nephew.
Wow.
Fought the dog for another 2 hours. Stayed with grandma for one day. Celebrated birthday. Very nice birthday. Got back in the car. Another 8 hours. More war. More fighting.
Wow. I think I've seen this movie, haven't I? National Lampoon's something or other.
Yeah, I think it was pulled off air early, if it was out there.
So this, Dave, sounds like a big test for you about whether or not you were a worthy suitor for this family's best and brightest.
You know, it was a test, and I sat silently. I think the marriage was in jeopardy for a period of time, but we pulled it out.
Very nice.
Now, pulled it out.
Were you back in town for New Year's? Any big plans that you had then? Big party down
like
the city?
We discussed earlier, yeah, I went to a Parliament concert. So that was the expectation of seeing a funkadelic show, a 70s recreation of live music, and what we saw was an argument for a band that should retire, unfortunately.
Oh, you know, Dave, sometimes you just got to let go of the past.
Well, we were there for the past.
Yeah.
We expected the past, and we got a new year. And so we were all happy with what we got, but really, they should think about retiring Parliament.
Funkadelic. Well, you know what? When I hear Funkadelic, I think the Education Gadfly Show. Glad you all have joined us. If you have anything to tell us about your new year or what you'd like us to do in 2007 on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Letters at edexcellence.net. Dave, we're going to start today, of course, with a game of Pardon the Gadfly. We'll debate three topics. We've then got an interview. And then finally, our in-house weirdo Liam will pump us up with an education news of the weird workout. So let's play Pardon the Gadfly. Again, three topics, 90 seconds each. Jen, kick us off.
All right. Topic one. New Orleans Recovery School District is having lots of problems, from languishing facilities to turf wars between students. By contrast, the Algiers Charter School Association, for example, is running a tight managerial ship. Yet, the Recovery School District has ultimate oversight over 6 of the 8 schools the Algiers Charter School Association runs. What's the deal?
Well, you know, so here we are. What has it been now? Over a year since Katrina. We're starting to see what's happening on the ground in New Orleans. A lot of people, including some of us here on the show, were worried that we were trying to get too many charter schools open too fast, that too many of them were going to be lemons. And yet it seems like the charter schools are doing a better job than the Recovery School District, which was a district set up by the state to take over some schools that were failing even before the storm. And it seems like this Recovery School District has unfortunately repeated some of the same mistakes of the old school district. I mean, what do you think, Dave? Is this a glowing argument for charter schools?
Well, I think two things. One, it is the case that management matters. Charter schools coming in with a plan are probably better positioned than districts coming in with no plan and just to recreate bureaucracy. But I think it's too early. The Recovery School District has a lot to work through, and they have an entire history to work through. So looking at the stats, looking at the academic accomplishments, it's hard to tell right now. I think it's all hearsay. So I'm not going to give the victory to charter schools quite yet, although I'd like to. But I say more time. Let's see what really happens.
Very nice. More time, more time. Well, okay. I understand that.
Yeah, but more time is usually a bad argument. Yeah, but in this case, Let's see how it works out, and let's really find out how the academics are improving.
All right. Now, what's interesting is that the Recovery School District has responsibility, again, for all of the schools that were failing before Katrina hit New Orleans, which is almost all of the schools in the city, including, again, 6 of these 8 charter schools. So they are the overseer, the charter school sponsor, so to speak, over these schools. And so you've got this strange experience. I think the bottom line is, though, if these schools are successful, the Recovery School District should emulate their practices.
I agree. All right.
We are blowing it out of the water today. Did that even make any sense?
Blowing it out of the water? No,
I really didn't.
Not at all.
No, I'm rusty. I had 10 days off, and I'm just, getting back in the swing here.
Well, loosen up. It's 2007. We got a new outlook, new Congress, new direction forward.
It's a wonderful attitude.
Yeah.
Jen, topic number two.
All right. A recent story on NPR's Morning Edition says that conservatives are starting to throw their weight behind national standards. It might even be considered an avalanche of conservative support, according to NPR. The one conservative example they give is Checker Finn, Fordham's president. Dave, are other conservatives getting behind this movement, or does NPR just assume that Checker speaks for all of right-leaning Washington?
Well, you know, I think it's a little ambitious to say Checker speaks for all conservatives in Washington. I will argue that national standards, while I think it's a pretty sexy idea, there's a lot of traction to it. It's really just a think tank idea. And a lot of conservatives, particularly those at the state level, aren't going to follow.
Aha. I thought you might say something like that, Dave. But while it may be true that an avalanche of support is overstating the case just a bit, there are some prominent conservatives who have signed on to this idea. Rod Page, Bill Bennett, Tommy Thompson, John Engler. I could keep going, but I think that's the whole list.
The early 90s hits.
Yes, that's right. The early 1990s policy wonks. Exactly. Reformers. But at the same time, I think it's picking up steam throughout many quarters, and I hear a rumor that there may be an actual movement in Congress, bipartisan, that might be coming soon.
That's because it's easy to talk about, but actually trying to implement this thing and roll it out? You're talking about unintended consequences.
All right. Okay, Dave. But here's the argument. Here's the conservative argument especially, is that it's about a new kind of federal role in education. That right now, under No Child Left Behind, we have it all backwards. That federal government's very loosey-goosey in terms of the standards and expectations for students. States are allowed to set all of that. But then they micromanage everything else. We got to flip that equation around, set national standards, and then devolve everything else. Let the states go, you know, do it as they see fit.
Ah, but you think Congress is going to step away from micromanagement?
That's my argument. That is the argument we got to make, my friend. Okay, Jen, back to you.
All right. Today, Fordham released a new survey of Washington insiders asking for their predictions for NCLB. One of the most interesting findings is that a majority of respondents think a 2007 reauthorization is pie in the sky, despite several notable politicians promising otherwise. Mike, what do you think will happen and when?
Oh, good question, Jen. Well, I should point out that Dave DeShriver was one of our Washington insiders that took that very same survey. Well, I do think that the insiders are correct that 2007 is very unlikely. They would really need to start writing this law right now in order to get it done before the August recess. After that, we are really into the presidential election, and then you're pretty much too late. So I think it is unlikely. Our insiders also seem to think that it was only going to get tweaked, that it wasn't going to be a big overhaul. But Dave, what do you think? You know, we asked people about, for example, some of the big programs like Reading First. Is that going to stay? You know, whether or not we're going to go to national testing, whether or not. I mean, what do you think? Is this going to be a tweak kind of reauthorization whenever it happens?
Well, it's going to be, I think, certainly 2009. 2007 is absolutely pie in the sky, cream whip, cherry on top, not a chance. 2009, after the presidential election, certainly. But this is really going to turn, it's going to completely hinge on how they redefine AYP. Whether you can
What's AYP again?
Annual Yearly Progress.
Adequate Yearly Progress. Sorry. Yes. You said annual.
I did say annual. I apologize.
If you work at a high-priced law firm,
but you know,
you
know,
made the most rookie mistake in the book.
All right. Well, hold on. Back off. Let me recover from that mistake.
All right.
Because I think what is going to turn are growth models. So right now, the biggest problem is that you have the status model with NCLB.
Right.
And so that creates so many unintended consequences from everywhere, from all the subgroups to limited English proficiencies.
Right.
If you ace that and you put in a growth model where you can actually measure individual student growth and subgroup growth, a lot of issues resolve themselves.
Right. So you're saying we want to look at how students are learning and growing over the course of the year instead of just how many kids this year have reached some proficient standard.
Right. So if the student excels three grade levels and he's still missing by one grade level, give the school credit.
All right. But all of our insiders seem to think that it's very likely that Congress will allow states to do that. Question is, the devil is in the details. How much growth will be enough? And that'll be a big debate.
They're going to punt that to 2009.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first. Well, maybe not first, but we certainly think that we're going to be talking about.
This may have been the first podcast where you know stated.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we're going to have plenty to talk about on No Child Left Behind, it sounds like, for at least another couple of years. And then after that, the new president's going to come in. They're going to rename this law, I think it's very likely. And it's going to be, you know, either the Audacity of Hope law.
Oh, that would be charming.
Or the It Takes a Village law.
I think It Takes a Village would be nice.
Or It Takes a Mormon law. I don't know. I'm just, yeah. I'm out of jokes there. That's it.
Not going to follow you in that.
Not going to follow me. Okay. Yeah. Romney.
Ron you?
Romney.
Oh, Romney. Yes. I'm still not going to follow.
All right. All right. Well, it is time for everyone's favorite education news of the weird with our special correspondent, Liam Julian. Liam, anything exciting happen to you over the holidays?
No.
Nothing?
Not much.
Really? Yeah. Did you go see your family or anything?
Yeah, I did for about 2 days. I went to Tallahassee, then went to St. Petersburg. And
that was enough for you, huh?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right. He's back in action. All right, well, Liam, well, what is weird this week?
Well, with school out for the holidays, weirdness seems to have gone on vacation too. I trolled the archives, though, and I found that in Scotland, teachers think writing with fountain pens boosts the academic abilities of students. Brian Lewis, principal of Melvin Junior School. I don't know what a junior school is. I've looked that up, and I didn't understand.
I mean, so wait, you couldn't come up with anything weird this week, and you don't even know what a junior school is. This is great work, Liam. Good.
Well, he says, quote, "The pens improve the quality of work because they force the children to take care. I take care of their writing."
Okay.
"And better work improves self-esteem. Proper handwriting is as relevant today as it ever has been." Unquote. That's pretty weird. I think.
I think that's right. I don't know what's weird about that.
Well, I mean, he says proper handwriting is as relevant today as it ever has been, and I mean, that's not true.
Well, that is true. I mean, if you find someone with graceful handwriting, you have two things. One, they have beautiful handwriting. Two, when they're learning or processing information and they're scribbling it down, that's just a better way of learning. You ever try to study off a computer? Hard to do.
I'm looking at Dave's notes here, and I have to say that they're quite attractive. You know, pretty good penmanship.
Well, yeah, for the exception of writing annual yearly progress.
Yes, that's true.
See, had I written that down instead of just AYP, I would have avoided the many gaffes which I usually produce.
I see. That's interesting. Now, did
the penmanship would have helped.
When you saw your in-laws-to-be, did they make you take a writing test of any sort and check out your penmanship?
Not yet. They just checked my gums.
Okay, good.
I passed.
Good. Liam, wow. Let's only hope that something weird happens this week in some school around the country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
There's going to be some kids can bring some illicit Christmas gift or something.
Okay. Well, we can only hope for as much.
Though. Or Hanukkah.
Or Hanukkah gift.
Holiday gift.
Right. So. Okay. But so this is the lesson is when school is not in session, school is not very weird. That's the best you got.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. Well, podcast listeners, we do apologize for that lame education news of the weird. We know that many of you suffer through these podcasts every week just to get to that joy at the end where you get that taste of the education news of the weird. And all we can say is that next week, Liam's going to try harder.
I thought that's a jewel, Liam. I don't know what the pushback is all about.
All right.
Well, I think there was some really genuine good insight in there, even if it wasn't all that weird.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. AYP.
Yes.
All right. Well, Dave, hey, thanks for joining us on the show. Dr. Hess will be back next week. I'm sure
he's in the Caribbean.
He's in the Caribbean. Do you say Caribbean or Caribbean? Does it matter?
I think you say Caribbean.
Yeah, Caribbean. He's there, and he's cruising around with his girlfriend, Jolene.
Really?
And enjoying the all-you-can-eat and all-you-can-drink buffet and bar there on the cruise line.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Debaucherous cruise.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I'm sure we'll have some funny stories as he exchanges in all kinds of cultural experiences touring around that beautiful Caribbean. Well, that is all the time we have for this week. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Don't forget to read the original Education Gadfly at edexcellence.net. Till next week.
I'm not going to be here next week.
You're right. But just tell the people who you are.
I'm Dave DeShriver.
And thank you. And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, signing off.